that. How about that? And so all that been is there. Anyhow, I hate all of you that are in sick land. We want to remember that we've been praying for you. We called you by name. We're glad and thankful and to be able to offer unto the Lord in your behalf some help. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. It's good to be saved. I was listening to an interview, an old interview, when Billy Graham was alive right before that he passed away, and they asked him, would he have changed anything if he had it to do over? And he said, yes, I would. I would have studied harder and longer. I would have prayed more and talked to the Lord and tell him how much I love him and thank him for loving me. I want to tell you what an impact. That's the truth, isn't it? All right, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, you find the place you're able to stand, verse 1. For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. For if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with the house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, that we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being unburdened, for that which would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And we are confident, I say, that willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, that we may be accepted of him. And for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to appear or answer them that glory only, glory in appearance and not in heart. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Now, bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation, over our sick folk, and we pray you'd restore their health in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little bit tonight on absent from the body and present with the Lord. You know, every time that we see somebody that has left this world and has gone into eternity, the world to come, and the world. If you're a child of God, a lot of time we're wondering, and while we're grieving and this and that, just what's going on. Well, let me tell you what he's doing is he's showing us the difference between an earthly house that you and I all live in right now and an eternal house that's going to be that which we'll be clothed with in the likeness of his eternal glory. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that's what it's about, is that things that are temporary. All of us that are here tonight, we're looking at one another, we love one another, we try to encourage one another, but we're just temporary as we go through this life. Sooner or later is going to come our time. God's going to call us up and call us out. Let me tell you, it deals with not only temporary things, but you're going to find out a house from heaven, one that's eternal. You see what I'm talking about? I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be able to know that one of these days that God has already got it designed, got it prepared for. All we got to do is move in, but we can't until he moves us in there. In the Bible lesson that we're looking at, the Bible said that you and I are clothed in the righteousness of God in verse number 3. Therefore, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now, I'm glad that it would not be sufficient for a man to try to clothe himself on such a holy occasion, but we're glad that God's been able to do it and that God has and is going to again. Now, I want you to notice, if you will, please, in verse 1, that he said, this house, the one we're living in, shall be dissolved. Do you realize at all that there's been many a person that have been planted in many moons gone by You couldn't find them because it's been dissolved. It's been taken out. And as a result of that, you're going to find out that it's a temporary dwelling that you and I live in. I want to say to you that, if you will, over in the book of Ephesians, don't turn there, but in chapter 4, at about verse number 14, you'll find out is that the Bible teaches us that we ought not to be blown about with every wind of doctrine. In other words, you and I ought to be settled in the grace of God and settled by the word of the Lord. And as a result of that, he said in the passage, till we all come in the unity of faith in verse 13, in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, by cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. Let me tell you right now, is that you're going to find out that we live in a world of confusion, people of confusion. I can't tell you the times that I've talked to people up and down the road of life. And I talked to a man one time years ago over in a parts house somewhere in Houston, Texas. And so anyhow, he was standing back against the wall, you know, and looking like he was God's gift to everybody that came through. And so I hadn't been saved long, so I naturally, he looked at me and he said, you know what? I think God's had me here waiting on you. I said, really? Where are you going to church at? Oh, he said, I'm a part of all churches. I said, no, you're not. Where do you tithe at? Where do you send your mission offering at? Who's the pastor that you've gotten you're submissive unto? Well, he didn't like to hear that. Now, I'm going to tell you what happens is when people go to running everywhere and yet they end up nowhere. Where are you going to church at? Oh, I just go I go somewhere different every Sunday. I see you don't want any responsibilities, what that means. Listen, when God saved you, God added to the church daily such as should be saved. He put you in a place where you tithe your offering, put you in a place where you witness, put you in a place. There's just no floating around free, you know, gratis Baptist running out there that's pleasing unto God. That ain't how he does business. You're going to find out that these are people of confusion. I call them hopscotch Baptists. And as a result of that, you're going to find out is that that's what ends up happening when you go to looking everywhere and you're really headed nowhere. You know, what ends up happening is that down the road is that we live in a world that they finally go to Charlie Kirkism. By that, they like that because they have no responsibility whatsoever. If they show up one service, fine. If they don't, that's fine too. I want to say to you that God has given us a responsibility not only to him, but one to another. In fact, as you're going to find out, is that in this lesson that we're looking at, did you notice that in chapter number 5, in verse number 12, did you notice that? For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory in our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer. Notice them which glory in appearance and not in heart. In other words, here's people, you know, that are putting on a show outwardly, but in their heart it's empty. Here's people, you know, that as a result of that, you're going to find out they're blind leaders of the blind. They're going to finally both wind up in the den. Let me tell you, why do you think over in 1 John chapter number 2 that God warned us in about verse number 19? They went out from us because they were not all of us. If they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued even unto this day. You know, as we look into this lesson here, these are people here, they're putting on a show outwardly, but not from the heart. Do you know the Bible said in Romans 10:10, it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With his mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I'm going to tell you, there's not no putting on a show that's going to impress God whatsoever. Let me tell you, you got to be careful whenever you're dealing with people that are everywhere and yet they're really nowhere. In this Bible lesson here, you're going to find out, in days gone by, you know, every now and again we've had people, sometimes they were likable, sometimes they were not. Sometimes, you know, only their hairdresser knew for sure. But as a result of that, you know, here's what I ever do. Whenever a person leaves and they try to go somewhere else, here's what I tell the pastor if he ever calls me. I wasn't able to help them all these years, but maybe you can. See? And if they keep pushing me, I'll tell them, listen, God guides, He provides, if He leads, He feeds. And I want you to know we're glad they're gone. If that's the will of the Lord for you to be gone, then God bless you, be gone. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find is that the reason why that God pointed that, there's going to be a lot of people out there that go by appearance, but not from their heart. The reason being is their mind, their thinking's wrong. The reason being is because their message is wrong. When you begin to examine that, you know, I don't correct everybody that ever says anything wrong from the blessed word of the Lord, but you're old enough and you've been listening long enough that if somebody says something that's not scriptural, you'll catch it pretty quick. You'll know it right there pretty quick. I want to tell you, their message not only is wrong, but you'll find their motive is wrong. We live in a world that somehow or another is that the time will come, and it is now, that they'll not endure sound doctrine. Now what they're looking at is that they're looking for games, and they're listening for glory, and they're listening for fun, and they're looking for things that are like that. And let me tell you, they want to be free from the responsibility of God, the Bible, the church, and that which is good, right, moral, and decent. Over there in the book of Romans, don't turn there, but in chapter number 1 and about verse number 30, here's what he called them. He called them backbiters and haters of God and inventors of evil things. You know, is that in the day we're living in, is all that around, I don't know, when is it, October? When is it Kim's birthday? October 31st, you know, Halloween night, when all hell is busting loose, there was something good came out of it, and that was Miss Kim, and she was born. I had a preacher one time, and he told me, hey, man, he said, we've called it a fall festival. Really, is it anything like a Halloween carnival? Well, now, what this does, we're giving out tracts, and we're putting them in a sack. I said, oh, you got a sack to a tract. There you go. That's good. I like the way that sounds. I just said all that to be able to say this, is that make no mistake about it, is that you're going to find that if you're a child of God, you hadn't got to invent some kind of a means or manner to be able to please and magnify or to worship the Lord. He's already got that lined out for you in the Bible. Now, in this lesson here that we're looking at, you're going to find out the Bible teaches people that are on the run, that are inventors of evil things, that you'll find they're double-minded in all their ways and so forth and on, and as a result, they're going to slip and stumble and fall sooner or later. We walk by faith in this chapter that we've read tonight, not by sight. We're not looking to put on a show. We're looking for something that's real and settling from the heart of God. Now, look back in your text there, and I want you to notice, if we can, is that you'll find out is that the Bible says that God has given us a house that's eternal. It's going to be in the heavens. And let me tell you what he does is that you're going to find is that life everlasting. Look in verse 5 of our text. Now, he that hath wrought us for the same thing is God. Now, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Now, here's what happens. God is very serious about this deal, and he has given us the earnest of the Spirit. He has sealed us unto the day of redemption. That's the reason when you and I got saved, the Spirit of God moved on the inside of us and took up residence, and therefore you and I are able to exalt and to magnify the name of the Lord together because of the Spirit of God that dwells within us. Look over in the book of Ephesians, and I want you to see a passage there. It's in chapter number 1 in the book of Ephesians and about verse number 12. Now, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom that ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession and unto the praise of his glory. I just want to say to you that, if you will, that God has got this thing wrapped up from the beginning all the way to the end. And as a result of that, whenever he saved you, and nobody got saved without first hearing the word of the Lord. You take those that are steeped in deep Calvinism, hyper-Calvinism. As a result of that, they can't believe what's right. And God, here's an argument that Calvinist gives you, is that if a man is dead in trespasses and sin, then he can't respond to you. I got news for you. That ain't right. That when you look into the Bible and you find that when you heard the word of truth, then you got saved. And let me say to you, here's the way you responded to it. Remember that man by the name of Adam? Remember whenever he sinned against God, that he was in the garden and he was hid? Now, according to their doctrine, that man can't respond to you because he's already dead. Adam responded, and he is already dead. And you'll find out that when God said, Adam, where art thou? He said, well, when we heard you, I hid myself. Why? Well, I knew I was naked. Who told you you were naked? He's having a pretty good conversation with Adam, who is dead in trespasses and in sin. See, there's just a whole lot of things that people of this would be better off if they just go ahead and believe what God said and respond to what God said. And let me tell you, when you get saved, he'll seal you to the day of redemption. You know, in this lesson here that you're looking at, somebody told me one time and said, you know, it's sort of like this. Here's a man finds a young lady, and a young lady and a young man are interested in setting up a shop, getting holy matrimony, if you will. And as a result, he asked her for her hand in marriage. And whenever he asked for her hand in marriage, a token of the fact that she's been promised is an engagement ring. And what we're looking at here is that in verse number 14 of chapter number 1 of the book of Ephesians, when he talked about the Holy Spirit of promise that's given to you and I, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the his praise and glory of his praise. I want to say to you that, if you will, that the Holy Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. And make no mistake about it, if you're born again, we're headed to a marriage. And let me tell you, is that one of these days the bridegroom's going to come forward and he's going to summons his bride, the church of the living God. I got to say to you, it's good to be saved and it's good to be able to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. And let me tell you, people that are saved, that are real with God, and if you're not real with God, I hope you become real with God one day. But if you are real with God, he's going to make it last all the way to the day whenever he comes again and redeems us unto himself. It's good to be in the house of God with the people of God and rejoicing in the things that God has given. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Now, Father, we want to thank you for loving us even while we've been unlovable.
We've got a lot of sick folk tonight. Lord, I'm asking you to touch them, restore their health. We pray that you'd build a hedge about us. Lead us, guide us, direct us, Lord, into the truth. Thy word is the truth. Now go with us to our homes and bring us back again safely. We